Narang Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudirayat Nasta Praeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. This morning we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 19, entitled The Lord Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj, text number 40. Go ahead. Tad yatha vriksha unmulaha Sushyati Udvartate Chirat Evam Nashtanritaha Sadya Atma Sushyan Sushyan Na Sangshayaha Tadyata Vriksha Unmulaha Tadyatha vriksha unmulaha Sushyat yudvartate chirat Sushyat yudvartate chirat Evam nashtanrita sadhya Evam nashtanrita sadhya Atma Sushyanna Sangshaya Atma Sushyanna Sangshaya Tadyatha Vriksha Unmula Sushyat Yudvartate Chirat Evam Nashtanrita Sadhya Atma Sushyanna Sangshaya Tadyatha Vriksha Unmula Sushyan Yudvartate Chirat Evam Nashtanrita Sadhya Atma Sushyanna Sangshaya Tadyatha vriksha unmula Sushyat yudvartate chirat Evam nashtanrita sadhya Atma sushyanna sangshaya Tat Therefore Yatha As Vrikshaha, a tree. Unmulaha, being uprooted. Sushyati, dries up. Udvartate, falls down. Achirat, very soon. Evam, in this way. Nashta, lost. Anritaha, the temporary body. Sadhyaha, immediately. Atma, the body. Sushyat, dries up. Na, not. Sangshayaha, any doubt. Translation. When a tree is uprooted, it immediately falls down. And begins to dry up. Similarly, if one doesn't take care of the body, which is supposed to be untruth, in other words, if the untruth is uprooted, the body undoubtedly becomes dry. Responsibly, when a tree is uprooted, it immediately falls down and begins to dry up. Similarly, If one doesn't take care of the body, which is supposed to be untruth, in other words, if the untruth is uprooted, the body undoubtedly becomes dry, report by Srila Prabhupada. In this regard, Srila Rupa Goswami says, prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastunaha mumukshubi parityago vairagyam phalgu kartyate. One who rejects things without knowledge of their relationship to Krishna is incomplete in his renunciation. This is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 12266. When the body is engaged in the service of the Lord, one should not consider the body material. Sometimes the spiritual body of the spiritual master is misunderstood. But Srila Rupa Goswami instructs, prapanchikataya buddhya hari sambandhi vastunaha. The body fully engaged in Krishna's service should not be neglected as material. One who does neglect it is false in his renunciation. If the body is not properly maintained, it falls down and dries up like an uprooted tree from which flowers and fruit can no longer be obtained. The Vedas therefore enjoin 6 lines of Sanskrit. The purport is that activities performed with the help of the body for the satisfaction of the absolute truth, Om Tat Sat, are never temporary, although performed by the temporary body. Indeed, such activities are everlasting. Therefore, the body should be properly cared for, because the body is temporary, not permanent. One cannot expose the body to being devoured by a tiger or killed by an enemy. All precautions should be taken to protect the body. In the Mahabharata, it's explained that. It's quoting from the Manu Samhita, that the most important duty in life is to maintain one's life. One should maintain one's life at all costs, or preserve one's life. In other words, if one's life is in danger, then one should drop everything and preserve it. This is a Vyas Puja offering of Giridhar Swami. It's a little long. Well, let's see, I'll read fast. My dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my prostrated obeisances at your lotus feet, all glories to your divine grace. During the past year, I discovered I had a heart condition called angina. At first, I was shocked. How could someone my age have angina? Old people get angina. Angina is a heart disease. It's too much cholesterol in the veins. The veins clogged and the blood doesn't flow, one gets a heart attack, one dies. I did not know much about the condition. I had one old friend in India who had angina and died of a heart attack within 2 years. I also felt I could die at any moment. I considered, what should I do with the rest of my life? Obviously, I had to do what is important to you and me. I thought of your instruction to me to write. Yes, I must write. And I must take shelter of the holy name of Krishna and develop love for him. I must prepare myself for the time of death. Then I came across a letter you wrote to me in which you seemed to confirm the same conclusions. Take care of your health, chant the holy name, and write, quoting the letter. If you are feeling tired, you may take rest. Your body is very valuable. It is dedicated to Krishna. So you must take care of the body very carefully. The best medicine is to rest and chant Hare Krishna mantra, along with the doctor's prescription. Hare Krishna mantra is bhava aushadhi, the panacea for all material disease. In the same letter, you continued, keep on with the practice of writing articles. In the midst of your heavy duties, go on writing something glorifying the Lord and put our philosophy into words. Writing articles means to express oneself how he is understanding the whole philosophy. So this writing is necessary for everyone. Still, I felt I would not be able to travel and preach in service before. Then a godbrother phoned and quoted you. The duty of a sannyasi is to write transcendental literature for the benefit of others. At least I could offer you some service. And you have been so kind. A nice couple south of Los Angeles have given me complete use of their townhouse, which also accommodates their beautiful deities of Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Giri Govardhan, and Your Divine Grace. While they stay nearby, they cook exactly according to my requirements, accompany me on my walk, and facilitate my service in every way. You have given me the support and love of sincere and competent devotees. Even my former family, who were never very favorable to Krishna consciousness, have come forward with all kinds of help, and my dear godbrothers have given me their sublime association and sagacious advice, even from afar. In fact, you have manifested yourself in all of them, as your Guru Maharaj explains. Quote, my Gurudev is residing in many different personalities. If he does not reside in many different personalities, then who will protect me? Those whom my Gurudev considered close to him are my saviors, but I hope I never have to see the face of such evil-doing rascals as those who have criticized the lotus feet of my Gurudev and those who have somehow supported such criticism. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. My health program includes strict diet, regular exercise, and the loving shelter of Giri Govardhan and the holy name. The same program is also most conducive to spiritual life and to what my best contribution to you and your mission, writing about you and developing my relationship with Krishna and your divine grace forever. I will never die, you said. I will live forever in my books and you will utilize. Over the past year, you have given me many important instructions through your books and recorded talks. Today, I wish to share some of the significant passages that appeared to guide me in hope that they may serve to encourage and enlighten others as they did me. In Bombay, you told me, if you sincerely try your best to please Krishna, Krishna will be satisfied, even if others are not. Still, we do want to please others, yet they may not be happy. Still, you give us hope. Quote, just like there was a clique, there was a brahmana, his name was Bhagavan. So he had some enemies. So the enemies, 10 enemies, they sat down in 10 places, and wherever he was passing, oh, you have become a ghost. You have become a ghost. Oh, how have I become? I am living. How have I become ghost? Next post he goes. He also says, oh, you have become ghost. You have become ghost. In this way, when he passes 10 posts, he thinks, I might be. I have become ghost. Otherwise, everyone says, I have become ghost. So, Dasa Chakre Bhagavan Bhuta. It's a Bengali proverb. Bengalis are excellent at this kind of... You would actually find a group of 10 Bengalis who had a disagreement with someone and who would actually do something like this to post themselves in 10 different places in the village and then start bewildering someone. So if everyone says I am low-born, I am low-born, so I also think I am low-born. But I am not low-born. Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahmasmi. I am spirit soul. This is Prabhupada. I am born of Krishna. Krishna is my father. Take like that. Think like that. That is twice born. That is twice born. So Krishna says, Mam hi parta vyapasritya. Anyone who takes shelter of me, never mind what he is. Never mind he is. He may be low-born, he may be Sudra, he may be woman, he may be whatever he may be. Te piyanti param gatim. He can also go to my kingdom. Srila Prabhupada lecture, July 1966. When people speak of Varnashram Dharma, you tell us the conclusion is to serve you. Quote, the Aryans follow these Vedic principles, Varnashram Dharma. Varnashrama Charvata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate. What is the purpose of Varnashram? Now, Vishnu Aradhana. Why Vishnu Aradhana? That is also answered by Lord Shiva. When he was asked by Parvati, what is the best form of worship? He recommended, Aradhananam Sarvesham. Therefore, there are many different types of worship. Sarvesham, Vishnur Aradhanam Param. Here, Lord Shiva says, Vishnur Aradhanam Param. Then again he stresses, Tasmat Paratanam Devi Tadiyanam Tadiyanam Aradhanam. Vishnu Aradhanam is the best, but better than that, there is another Aradhanam. What is that? Tadiyanam Aradhanam, to worship the Vaishnava. Vishnu Aradhana is the topmost, but Vaishnava Aradhana is still more. Narottam Das Thakur therefore says, Chariya Vaishnav Seva Nishtara Payeche Keva. The Vaishnava Radhana is so important. Therefore Krishna says, Tadvidi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya Ubadekshanti Te Gyanam Gyaninas Tattva Darshana. Srila Prabhupada Lecture, 1975. When darkness seems to engulf us, you explain why and indicate that light may come. Lord Krishna said to King Yudhisthira, my devotee is not deterred or is not discouraged by any adverse conditions of life. He always remains firm and steady. Therefore, I give myself to him and I favor him so that he can achieve the highest success of life. End quote. The mercy bestowed upon the tried devotee means someone who is experienced or is undergoing some difficulty, whatever, gone through many difficulties. The mercy bestowed upon the tried devotee by the Supreme Personality is described as Brahma, which indicates that the greatness of that mercy can be compared only to the all-pervasive greatness. Brahma means unlimitedly great and unlimitedly expanding. That mercy is also described as Paramam, for it has no comparison within this material world, and it is also called Sukshmam, very fine. Not only is the Lord's mercy upon the tried devotee great and unlimitedly expansive, unlimitedly big, but it is of the finest quality of transcendental love between the devotee and the Lord. Such mercy is further described as chinmatram, completely spiritual. The use of the word matram indicates absolute spirituality with no tinge of material qualities. That mercy is also called sat, or eternal, and anantakam, unlimited. Since the devotee of the Lord is awarded such unlimited spiritual benefit, why should he worship the demigods? A devotee of Krishna does not worship Lord Shiva or Brahma or any other subordinate demigod. He completely devotes himself to the transcendental loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When, after the dense dark night, there is finally sunrise in the morning, it is very pleasant. When there is scorching heat, cold water is very pleasant. And when there is freezing winter, hot water is very pleasant. Similarly, when a devotee, after experiencing the distress of the material world, relishes the spiritual happiness awarded by the Lord, his position is still more pleasurable, is still more pleasant and enjoyable. That whole section was from Krishna book, chapter 88. And when separation breaks our hearts, you assure us that if we follow your instructions, we will serve you and Krishna eternally. Quote, there is a rasa or mellow, every ananda. Just like if you take a nice fruit, mango, the taste is pleasing. That is called rasa, that taste. So this picture of Radha and Krishna with the gopis is an ananda chinmaya rasa. Here we have got that taste of rasa in a perverted manner, but chinmaya rasa means it continues. This Radha Krishna with the gopis, they are enjoying dancing, chanting. That is eternally. That is never stopped. It is not that they become old and there's no more enjoyment, or they are separated, or somebody, Krishna, goes somewhere and Radharani goes to somewhere. No, everything is eternal. So when you enter into the Krishna science, you get so much volumes of transcendental knowledge. And we are trying to present before you this knowledge in so many ways, by cleansing your heart from this material contamination. When one is not contaminated, he's relishing this Hare Krishna mantra by associating with Krishna. Just like Rupa Goswami, he's also chanting. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also chanting. But his chanting and my chanting, there is little difference. That chanting is on the transcendental platform, actually relishing with Krishna. My chanting, in the beginning there are three stages: offensive stages, liberated stage, and relishing stage. So we have to defend ourselves from the offenses. Then our chanting will be purified. And when the chanting is purified, immediately you are liberated. And after liberation, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, your life of devotional service actually begins. Then you relish reciprocation of love with Krishna. So keep on chanting. You keep yourself purified. Maya cannot touch you. So this mantra, apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam katopi va, any condition of life, you can simply remember Pundarikaksham, Krishna. As soon as you chant Krishna, you remember everything. So this remembering is the whole thing. If you've got always within your heart Krishna, by sound or by mental thoughts, by work, some way or other, by reading books, anyway, if you simply keep your Krishna, your consciousness in Krishna, then your life is successful. That's all. Srila Prabhupada lecture, July 1969. Thus we take shelter of the holy name in any condition. You have left so many instructions for us all, but how do we know which apply to us? On the auspicious day of your appearance day, we pray you will appear in our hearts and give us the intelligence to know which instructions are meant for us and how to apply them in pure devotional service. Quote, to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. End quote. So you teach us to love you and Krishna. Quote, we have a propensity to love, but we do not know how to make our love perfect. That perfection is possible when we love Krishna. Now, in my old age, I am wandering all over the world teaching that everyone can become happy by practicing Krishna consciousness. It is not that I love only my countrymen, only Hindus or Bengalis. I love everyone, even the animals. The quest for enlightenment, 7.2. We learned to open our heart to you and Krishna. Quote, guyam means very confidential things, and akyati means disclosing. You must disclose your innermost thoughts to your beloved, and he'll disclose his innermost thoughts to you. These are the six ways of increasing love. If you act in these ways with Krishna, you will develop love for him. The quest for enlightenment, 7.1. Thus, you teach us Bhagavad Dharma, or Prema Dharma, following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Quote, the mission of our Krishna consciousness movement is to teach people how to love Krishna. Only then will they be satisfied. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Savai Pungsang Paro Dharmo Yito Bhaktir Dhoksajay, Ahoitukiya Pratyata Yayatma Supersedati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that which awakens loving devotional service to Krishna. When such devotional service is uninterrupted and free of selfish motives, it completely satisfies the self. Teaching this truth is the mission of the Krishna consciousness movement. If people will accept it, all their problems will be solved and they will be happy. Srila Prabhupada, we are yours, forever yours, your eternal dependent servant, Giridhar Swami. So here, Vamana Dev is telling the same thing. Care of the body for the reason that it is a vehicle which helps us to serve Krishna. And taking care of the body means taking care of the body and the mind, taking care of our health, body is going to be destroyed sooner or later. That cannot be stopped. But as Giridhar Swami quoted that letter from Srila Prabhupada, we have to do what is required. And this, again, this means we have to be honest. There is the tendency to relapse or to fall back into the mode of ignorance, or the mode of passion, mostly the mode of ignorance, and over-facilitate the body. But we have to do what is exactly required, just like an expert doctor will give you the right medicine exactly. If he gives you some wrong medicine, then that may make your condition worse. So we have to take care of the body properly, and we also have to chant Hare Krishna and have faith that our health depends upon Karmeshwar. Krishna is called Karmeshwar. He's the controller of karma. We're suffering because of our purva karma. Just like I was in Bombay and I met one friend of the devotees at Radha Gopinath Temple, Radhana Swami stays. And he happens to be a, what do you call them? Not an astrologer, but a Bhrigu reader. He's a Bhrigu reader. The Bhrigu Samhita is a book compiled by Bhrigu Muni, and theoretically everyone's future can be seen, past, present, and future can be seen in the Bhrigu. So he has to find your particular page, your particular reference. And then he reads. He's not an astrologer, theoretically. He simply reads what is in the Bhrigu. So he read my Bhrigu, and he said that in my past life, I had somehow or other, not due to my fault, but somehow or other I had been involved in hitting a cow in the stomach. Now, that's a serious offense. And the cow had died. He didn't know necessarily about my condition, my health, but he just said that I had been involved in hitting a cow in the stomach. So now I have got some reaction that I have got a serious disease of the stomach area, the liver. So I can try to treat that. I can try to take proper medicine. Everyone, if you get a disease, you should take the proper medicine. But I know that the only thing that will really cure me is the mercy of Krishna's cows and the mercy of Krishna. That Krishna says, I am the healing herb. So if I want to be free of my sickness, I should simultaneously increase as much as I can my devotional activities. Even if it only means lying on a bed and chanting Hare Krishna, if I can do nothing else, but I should absorb myself in the holy name. And that will be, as Prabhupada said, the panacea, the ultimate medicine, which will help me. We are, to a certain degree, we are controlled by our karma, but karmani nirdahati kintu cha bhakti vajam. Krishna reduces the karma of a devotee. Krishna is the master of all karma, karmeshwar. And so even our material condition of life is regulated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through, not directly, but through His servants. And this is very basic knowledge in Krishna consciousness. In one sense, it is just common, good common sense. You should take care of your body. The body is the source of the senses by which you, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam, by which you serve Krishna. But you should not forget the underlying purpose. If you're not engaged in serving Krishna, then there's no value in maintaining the body. Might as well let it die, because it's not bringing you any real satisfaction or happiness. So it is both false renunciation to take something which can be engaged in the service of Krishna and reject it. That's false renunciation. But it's also false renunciation to take something which is being used in the service of Krishna and try to enjoy sense gratification. Dharmasya hi apavargasya, that verse. One should never use the fruits of one's devotional activities for sense gratification. So it requires some maturity, and the tendency of devotees when they get diseased or get sick is to be overwhelmed by lamentation, to be overwhelmed by victimization. I'm a victim. Why has this happened to me? On the one side. And therefore they neglect their devotional service, or they don't try their best. Again, as quoted by Giridhar Swami, Prabhupada said that if you just try your best, then Krishna will be pleased. And that's our goal, to please Krishna. So they give that up, trying to please Krishna. Or on the other side, there are cases of devotees who have ignored their sickness, thinking that they get some symptoms. We even have one fellow in this temple here who does that, ignores his physical condition, and I'm not sure of the reason, some mental problem. But you can see it's just making his condition worse and worse. Krishna's not going to interfere. Krishna's, you have to take the practical steps to take care of your health. hopefully you'll, in a very spiritual environment, as Giri Swami was said, he has many friends and well-wishers because he is such a, he's another devotee who, like Mukunda Maharaj, he's so brahminical and so gentle. He's such a gentle man that I've seen him in discussions where he's, there'll be much more aggressive people who will be speaking. And Giriraj Swami has so much knowledge on the subject and direct knowledge from Srila Prabhupada, but he'll just keep quiet because he doesn't want to disturb the atmosphere. And I saw that he got a lot of personal mercy from Srila Prabhupada in so many ways. Prabhupada liked all his disciples, but some he had special affection for, and Giriraj Swami was one of them. So in that situation, people come forward to help him. And theoretically, that attitude should be there in all of our temples. The community should always rally around any one of its members who experiences some difficulty in the execution of their devotional service by virtue of their physical health or any other reason. Devotees should be very supportive, not aloof and remote and independent and impersonal. This is ideal. And as we go on preaching and teaching, as we become, one God brother wrote to me, Burijan Prabhu, he's also a wonderful, wonderful devotee. In fact, I hope he's got an offering in here. Oh, he does. He gave so many years of his life to preaching in the Gurukula. He started the Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education, and he has a wonderful wife who is known everywhere in the world for her strong preaching, and her, she has two nice sons, and she is very, you know, he and she have a very close relationship, friendship. But she's got cancer now. She's 3 months into cancer. So we were having some discussion. He was saying that his realization is that the more a devotee is oppressed by the material energy, the more a devotee is put into difficult situations, the more soft he becomes, the more his heart becomes like butter. And so that's true, that as our society grows and as we go through the successes and failures of our preaching, as we experience difficulty in the battle, we're fighting a constant battle with the material energy, and more devotees are becoming compassionate and loving, and hopefully that will evolve into an ideal Krishna conscious society. But even if it doesn't, even if it takes longer than we can wait, the fact is that at the time of death, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam yajati ante kalevaram, I think this was quoted in the last verse, at the time of death, everything is examined. So either you get help from others, which is very nice, or you somehow or other have to be strong and make your own arrangements. You have to take care of your assets. You have to take care of your tools, you have to take care of the opportunities that you have for becoming Krishna conscious. On the one side, we're talking about renunciation. On this side, we're talking about paying attention to the body and how important it is. So, balance, it's a mature balance. Stop there. Are there any questions? Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam.